Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45. We'll do a little triple option. I think we'll be back at 6:10, too, to do our pick six segment. So we'll all the way up until 8 o'clock tonight. Man, let's hit it right off the bat because a lot of things fast and furious with transfer portal signees by LSU. And it's time now for our latest on LSU football and the transfer portal guys that are coming and gone. And all this is brought to you by the spirit of First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. On our talk and text line, we have on with us from Are You Serious Network, Blake Ruffino. Blake, thanks so much for joining this afternoon.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Blake, before we get into anything on the new signees, I'll ask you about a guy that apparently has come in and has spoke to LSU. I think they hosted him today, John Henry Daly, who I got to watch quite a bit at Utah. Pass rush defensive end. Guy can run the field extremely well. Interesting player. Oh, put up some big numbers for the Utes this year. He started out at BYU. His dad was at BYU. He's got a brother that has played college football. But he's got an interesting uncle, Taysom Hill. So tell us what you heard about John Henry Daly and about the visit today. But John Henry Daly, the edge rusher from Utah, his uncle is Saints all-purpose and one of one, Taysom Hill.
You know, Mike, I heard Lane Kiffin, who's very unique in a lot of things he does, and I use that word unique. I heard that he tried to get both of them on campus at the same time to try to sell this deal. But nevertheless, you're right. I mean, absolutely fantastic player. Had 17 and a half tackles for loss last year. Mike, he's a triple threat is what I would call him. Really good in the run game, really good with his hands, really good with leverage. Had 11 and a half sacks last year in the Big 12 and dominated pretty much everybody he played. Mike, I think the biggest thing for me was in watching him this year, four games of double-digit sacks, part of those games. And so he's a really, really good player. Mike, in this one, they're going to be fighting Michigan off with a stick. John Daly did go back to Michigan today from what I was told. So, Mike, I really don't know how great LSU sits in a position there for him, John Henry Daly, but they definitely went after it. You know, Mike, I didn't think when John went to Michigan the first time and came down to LSU, I didn't even think they would get him on a visit, to be blunt with you. But he's back at Michigan from what I was told, and Mike, they're trying here because they think he's a really, really good player. And look, they brought in five edge guys within the last 2 days. Jordan Ross is here. Cam Coleman's been here. They're trying to get back on a visit for a second time. So, Mike, they brought in a lot of guys. And I saw your tweet earlier today about Jalen, about what you thought of him and Malik Blockton. They're bringing in a lot of guys here. I think John Henry, Mike, I really think that one's going to be extremely tough for them in this one. But they're really trying for a really good player, and they're going to really have to fight off Michigan.
All I can tell you is John Daly can play. I mean, he can flat out play. Ooh-wee. Man, he plays like his hair's on fire, and he's trying to put it out on every play. He's after you pretty good. Malik Blockton, I watch probably more than everybody, only because SEC guy, he started every game this year, played a ton of football. And I can see he's a lower body power guy, really good athlete, 8.5 tackles for losses the last 2 years. He's got really good penetration skills. The one thing with him is, man, he is going to have to get with Coach Sterling and Coach Peoples, learn how to use your hands and arms better. He's trying to beat people right at the point of attack with his power and from the lower body, but you got to learn how to use your arms and hands better, or his numbers would be better. But I look at him as more as an interior guy that, man, that gives a lot of people trouble because you out-athletic an interior guy with Blockton, especially if he can learn how to play with good technique.
Without a doubt, Mike, you're spot on there. I mean, and look, I thought there were times even at Auburn, you know, when he did play with his hands at a high level, that's where all the disruption came from. You know, I think of I'm pretty sure it was that A&M game where he had a couple of big stops, and that game was really close with Auburn and Texas A&M. And Mike, he didn't make a quote-unquote play, but you can see on the film where, I mean, he's blowing things up in the backfield and being very disruptive in the run game. And look, you, Mike, you're one of the best at doing this in reference to breaking down players and things like that, and you're spot on there. And he's going to have to learn to use his hands, and they're going to have to get with him on that. And, Mike, I thought the same thing in reference to kind of the vice versa with Steph Green a little bit. Has been really good with his hands. Mike, it's been bringing that lower half that he needs to. So I think a very versatile guy there. And Mike, I think here's the thing, too, that at least number one I've been told, but number two, kind of what they're just doing by their actions. Look at all the guys that they have right now. And I know Buddy Mathis hit the portal or is hitting the portal, but you got two young studs that you can put in there along with some more experienced guys, and you bring back Don McKinley. And if I'm Don McKinley, hey, man, you better put in the work this offseason, too. So a lot of experienced pieces there, Mike, with a lot of things that you can work with. It's just getting them to that next level that is a big deal there.
Okay, they got their first commitment from a transfer offensive lineman. Jaquan Sprinkle has started, I think, his 24 games. I think he's played in 27 at North Carolina Central now. Everybody's saying, give me a breakdown, man. Listen, I got to go back and watch film of this guy. I do know he has that part of it I haven't gotten yet, but I know he has started at both right guard and right tackle, and I think he's a right-sided guy there. And I would think just by just a little bit of intel I have on him, he's a right-sided guy. He's either going to play mm-hmm. right guard or right tackle. That's what he's done at North Carolina Central. But I think this is one of a number of offensive linemen we'll see over the next few days.
Without a doubt, Mike. Michael DeBose is also on campus, can play guard, can play tackle too. He's more of a left side guy, to your point. You know, like, I mean, the times that he took a snap at Bama was at left guard. And look, Sterling Lucas, again, I know that Eric Walford and James Craig, you know, are here, but it was the connection with Sterling Lucas that led him here. And from what I gather, Sterling Lucas says, hey, this guy's in the portal, take a look at him. And Mike, a guy that, I mean, I'll send you a screenshot, Mike, of what I'm watching right now, and it's him, because I didn't really know much about him either. From what I can tell through seven plays that I've seen since we joined this call, Mike, go watch his footwork. I mean, this is, you know, he's maybe a little bit on the lighter end, but he definitely uses his footwork really well, and his pad level's been really nice. Looks like he loses it there. Other than that, Mike, I don't really know much about him. I'm sure that they've evaluated him, but that you and I both know, and the entire LSU fan base know, we need offensive linemen, and we need guys that can play and play right away. How difficult is it, you know, to jump from the level that he was at to the SEC? I'm sure it's a massive one. But the last time that Mike, the last time James Craig was a part of LSU and they got a guy from a lower tier, the guy's name was Damian Craig. How did that work?
Yep.
You know, and I'm not trying to compare that, but they have done a really good job. They did a really good job at Ole Miss, too, now. Look at their starting guard right now, a guy that nobody knew of coming out of the FCS level, and he's starting right now, and he's making a really good name for himself. So we'll have to see. I haven't watched enough of him either, Mike, for me to come in here and say, hey, I know everything about this guy. But go watch his footwork, and he works with some really good pad level here.
Well, if he can move his feet and he can move his hands, I'm all for that. The kicker from Arkansas, Scott Sturrock, very consistent kicker. And listen, playing in Arkansas, sometimes that's not the best weather situation in the world that you're kicking in. Man, believe me, my brother was there. So I can tell you, some of those weather conditions in November is not the best in the world. But this was an area that I wanted to keep an eye on because, man, you don't bitch about your kicker till he starts to miss. And the one thing about Scott is he has been very consistent inside 45 yards, and that's what you're looking for. People say, oh, give me the long, the real strong-legged kicker. No, give me the guy that can be consistent inside 45 yards. It's great you can kick a 50 and be 50-50 with it. Give me the guy that hits it 9 out of 10 from inside 45 yards at the collegiate level.
And as a freshman, too, with a big leg. Mike, that 53-yard kick that he had was into – you can hear Dave Neal talking about it on the telecast. He's like, and guys, we got 20-mile-an-hour winds. And I was like, no wonder I miss ducks when I go up to Arkansas and start hunting.
Yeah,
so I mean, it just – right. You know, I mean, look, big leg. I got to give Joe Houston a lot of credit, Mike. On Bill Connelly's SP+, Florida's been number two when it comes to special teams, not punt return. But special teams outside of that, SP Plus, they're at number two. Look, their field goal kicker this year for Florida, the way that they punted the football at a high level, Mike, with no returns, there was a four-week span this past year where they had no returns, and they punted the football a lot. So, look, Joe Houston's been really good at this and done a really high level. You know, he's another part, Mike, of this whole thing with Belichick, Nick, and with Lane Kiffin to this point. He's been on all three of their staffs here. He did a really good job at Florida. And in reference to the kicking game, look, Damian Ramos, with all due respect for him, Mike, was not consistent enough inside the 45-yard line. And, look, you need points. Points are points are points inside the SEC, and you're so right on that. You've just got to be consistent. Anything outside of 50 is laying out. Getting inside the 45 and then being able to hit those kicks is always going to be a massive deal here. And he's definitely done it at Arkansas. With Mike, let's just be honest. That wasn't consistent. And with the number two kicker in the country coming out of high school a season ago, so you can land a really big one. And, Mike, I'm going to tell you this. I don't know if they're completely done there. And you heard me there correct. Mike, on these special teams guys now, you're going from an 85 scholarship limit to a 105 scholarship limit. That changes a little things for these position groups where you only have one scholarship guy. So I don't know if they're completely done there at that position. Maybe they get a guy that's a freshman, that's a developmental guy, maybe a big boom guy, but we'll see.
Blake, I wanted to hop in here and ask you about the Damon Williams situation, Washington quarterback, Lane Kiffin connection there. And it feels like if you had told me last Friday that we would be basically almost a week into the portal window and LSU didn't have any type of resolution on their QB1, that probably wouldn't have been the greatest sign, but it's also been a very complex situation, to say the least, with Damon Williams. I just want to get the latest on him. I know that his representatives have recently dropped him as well, but a player that had recently signed an NIL, re-upped an NIL contract with Washington and then tried to enter the portal, and the whole situation with Washington potentially suing to prevent him from doing so. It's been definitely something to follow, but also the connection with Lane Kiffin and LSU.
Yeah, well, number one, I'm not trying to get political here, but the one thing I thought Jeff Landry said in the beginning of all of this was accurate. Agents representing coaches and players is not a great deal. The Westerman Group represents Jed Fish in this too. So they're going to stay with a head coach that they potentially can make more money with. So I don't find this him being brought by Westerman a big deal at all. What I do want to monitor is him signing the attorney who teaches at Miami, teaches NIL law at Miami. And look, are they going to Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary this thing to be able to get in these sweepstakes? In reference to the connection, guys, I think we all know why we're here. We're all here because of what's going on and what happened with Xavier Lucas, and we're finding loopholes. Ross Dellinger reported the other day that they're planning on changing the calendar because of Lane. Are they going to change this now because and things that are going on there, if they even can, because of what's going on with Xavier Lucas and now with Damon Williams? In reference to the representation, I don't have it. I mean, he's representing Jed Fish. I'm not an attorney. I would just say, like, look, I'm reading what everybody else is reading. Looks like that they might not even have a standing on that. So we'll see. I'll tell you this, from if you talk to anybody up at their building, I mean, they're going to tell you that they feel pretty confident about where they stand. From what I gather, they are, you know, waiting to make sure that everything's perfectly lined up so that they can, quote unquote, bring him in officially. And I would expect that to be within a week, if not very much shorter, that he's here. And guys, I just got to be honest. I don't, you know, from a money aspect, they're going to do everything to make sure he doesn't leave. And look, I said this 12 days ago. You can go look on our YouTube. We did a whole segment about this, about me hearing that he was going into the portal. I said then, I'll say 12 days out after this. I think to me, he's the best player in the transfer portal because of the position he plays. I think he's that good. You got to go get him. So let's see if they do, and you know, we'll go with the legal stuff as the legal stuff goes on. But the Jed Fish thing, come on. I don't know. I mean, you can't have that conflict of interest, which he did have. With that being said, I feel that, you know, some things that I hear, they feel good about where they sit. Miami's going to always be a big player in this because they were always a big player in this and him getting in there.
No question, Blake. And to be honest with you, I've talked to three attorneys who know a lot more about it than I do, and they tell me he will never play one game at Washington. Never. Mm. That ship has sailed. And so now it's going to be a situation, does he sign with LSU or does he sign at University of Miami of Florida? Blake, thanks so much for joining us, bud. Always great stuff. Always appreciate it, my man.
Anytime, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Blake.
All righty. Blake Ruffino does a great job on the RU Sirius LSU Network. That LSU football report was brought to you by the spirit of First American, a banking tradition since 1910. Also, you can keep up with all of the Lane Kiffin latest moves and breaking news about LSU football right here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this break.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, I want to thank Blake Ruffino for jumping on with us real quick from the RU Sirius Network and keeping up everything on the transfer portal for LSU. Do you listen to WWL on the Odyssey app? If not, you got to join the club. We've seen big growth in listeners who stream their favorite shows on their phones, and they download our daily show podcasts. Stay connected to WWL for the latest on the Saints and LSU, plus opinions you just can't get anywhere else. Download the Odyssey app today and make sure to go to My Audio, then Settings, and turn on notifications. That way you'll never miss a big story or a red-hot interview. WWL is always live on the free Odyssey app. When we return, we'll have on with us Brad Evans from BetMGM talking to us about the championship games in college football, the four teams still alive, and playoff weekend in the NFL right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And on our talk and text line is Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Brad Evans, host of BetMGM Tonight and now part of the new Westwood One sports lineup. Weekdays from 6 to 11 Eastern. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Bradley, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Hola, amigos. Thanks for having me back.
Brad, first of all, how's everything going now with the new Westwood One stuff?
Oh, it's exciting, man. We got a blowtorch. So, you know, we're available right now over 300 terrestrial stations nationwide. We're on Sirius XM channel 375 as well. We're rocking, we're rolling, we're having a damn good time every single night from 6 to 11 p.m. Eastern time. Myself, Pat Boyle, our outstanding crew, working hard, grinding. And it's all about infotainment, man. You know, we're not just breaking out lines, a lot of traditional sports talk, but little gambling and in-season fantasy talk sprinkled in, my man.
How about that? All right, tonight's game, Miami of Florida versus Ole Miss. To be honest, this is strength against strength. Miami, yeah. Florida's defense is bad to the bone, and Ole Miss's offense is really, really good. And you got a dynamic football player in Trinidad Chambliss, and when they want to throw the hammer at you, that Lacy guy can run the ball. Your thoughts tonight?
Yeah, it's going to be a dandy, and you're right. It is the definition of strength on strength. You know, often I usually side with a team that's a little bit more explosive, but in this case, I think defense does indeed win championships. Defense does indeed win college football playoff games. I'm going to lay the chalk with Miami, but I'm going to do this in a creative way. I'm going to do a little same-game parlay, simple two-legger. We don't need 7, 8, 9, 10 legs to try to get rich and get famous on social media platforms. We're just trying to build bank. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the Hurricanes on the money line, which means all I got to do is win straight up. I'm going to jack the game total up to 61.5, and Dominique Wilkins slam dunk that under. You put those hands together, it's at a plus 106. The Canes defense is just stifling. Number 7 in all college football and EPA per play defense entering the ninth. You know, what version of Carson Beck is always undetermined what you're going to get in, game in, game out. But you know, if he just plays average football in this one, I could see Miami winning this sucker in a squeaker. Something like 24-21 feels about right as the SEC struggles. Yeah, they may continue.
I do believe. I think the SEC dominance is over with. I just think in the new world of college football and what we've seen now, this potentially could be three straight years the Big Ten wins the national title. So I'll throw you to that one. Man, Oregon, Indiana, it's the rematch game. Normally it's tough for the winner to come back and pull another W, but, man, when they went to Oregon, Brad, they didn't just beat Oregon. They beat them up. It just sort of left them out. Man, Indiana, they beat them from pillar to post in that particular game. Your thoughts, Indiana, Oregon?
Look, I bear witness, and I watch every single second of it because I'm understandably a masochist, but I watch my University of Illinois Fighting Illini just get run roughshod over Indiana back in late September, 63-10. And, you know, my family bailed after about a quarter of that action. They're like, yeah, we're getting waxed. We're not going to watch this massacre. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to sit here and endure it because I'm curious about IU. And, man, ever since I saw that butt whooping, I'm like, okay, I'm on board with Cignetti. I'm on board with this team being much better than advertised. The rest of America took a while to catch up. I always felt that Fernando Mendoza was a real deal Holyfield. He certainly delivered, wins the Heisman, going to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, going to go to Vegas here in short order. But really, you know, Indiana, they are an outstanding defensive team. They don't have any weaknesses. They're ball hawks. They're excellent in gap coverage on the ground. You know, always have that extra safety over top, preventing some of the big plays. You know, the advanced data bears it out. They're number one in the country EPA per play offense, number four in the country EPA per play defense. Now, Oregon's top 10 in both those categories as well. And you're right, second chance, always tough to defeat a team in the same season. But Indiana is a wagon. And once again, I'm going to go ahead and saddle them up. Hoosiers score the cover -3.5, and they're going to win the national title, folks.
Brad, moving on to the NFL playoffs, the wild card round, I think the one game that Mike and I have gone back and forth the most on, the one that I feel the least confident about of all the matchups, Buffalo and Jacksonville. Jacksonville is red hot entering this postseason. Buffalo maybe has the best quarterback in the postseason. It's just, you know, everyone keeps talking about, oh, no Mahomes, no Lamar, who's there to stop, no Burrow, no, who's there to stop Josh Allen from finally winning it all. But You know, when we were talking with Mark Schlereth, the Odyssey NFL Insider, about this on Tuesday,
yep.
he had mentioned that this is probably Buffalo's worst team in recent years that have made the yep. postseason. So yep. it just feels like this Jacksonville team, they're underdogs at home, which I'm sure you have some numbers about home underdogs in the first round of the playoffs. Just want to get your thoughts on that matchup, because that's the one that I'm so, you know, back and forth on. I just don't know who to pick.
Yeah, man, I'm all about the deniers in Duval County. I like Jacksonville quite a bit in this one. I know Buffalo's up, you know, a lot of people cheering for them. Maybe this is a year they can finally get over the hump with the Baltimore Ravens down to the postseason. Of course, with Kansas City on the outside looking in, this should be their year. But, of course, their biggest issue has been defending the run all year long. I think Travis Etienne is going to be stellar in this game. And then you look at Trevor Lawrence as well. He has been peak efficient vertically, but making a lot of plays with his legs, especially inside the red zone, where he's got 10 rushing touchdowns on the season. And the other thing I think is underpublicized, the Jags defense is outstanding, guys. They have not allowed a running back to eclipse 75 yards on the ground. Right now, the over-under on James Cook at BetMGM rush yards at 78.5. I am dunking the under on that. I think he's going to be lucky to get past 60. He's a lifeblood. I know a lot of people would say, no, it's Josh Allen, brah. But I think really what makes that team tick is the action that Cook gets and his efficiency on the ground. One of the best in business on a per-rate basis and per-touch basis. But Jacksonville just bottles you up, as they are number 3 in the NFL EPA per-play defense. And they are top 10 on the season in rush EPA defense. So I think the Jags will be able to handle them in the end. It's going to be hard fought. It's going to come down to the bitter end. They're catching a point right now. You just take them straight up at a minus 110 on the money line at BetMGM. That is the play, and I'll gladly take the under as well, which is right now sitting at 51.5.
Two of the most entertaining games I've watched all season long in the NFL. Packers Bears, and if you just watched the end, it was really something. I know your boy Harvat. Sometimes he get overly excited with them Packers. But your thoughts, Green Bay, Chicago.
Look, I'm a Bears fan through and through, and trying to bury the bias and look at this matchup objectively. First thing I want to make, a lot of people blowing up the weather right now. It is not going to play that much of a factor, at least not the white stuff flying through the air. There's going to be some spotty snow showers at kickoff, but not accumulating snow, which earlier in the week, some of the modeling by the National Weather Service suggested could be in play. But based on the recent updates, I think it's a slim chance of that occurring. Winds could gust up to 30 miles an hour. Sustained winds means consistent winds around 15 to 20. It's going to impact more the kicking game than I think anything else. You might say, well, what do you know about weather? Folks, I have a master's degree in geoscience with an emphasis in meteorology from Mississippi State University. So I know what the hell I'm talking about when it comes to Mother Nature. With that put to rest, I do like the Bears in this game if they can get a couple of takeaways, and that's the key, because that defense is so leaky, so beatable, so susceptible, whether on the ground, and Josh Jacobs claims he's, you know, at or near 100% right now, or vertically, and Jordan Love, of course, and spread the love. There's some of those deep ball actions to Christian Watson, maybe Romeo Dobbs. It's a coin flip kind of game. The Bears have got to start off hot. They've started off sluggishly in first halves repeatedly throughout the entire season, but I think the takeaways they will get, 2 is the magic number, whether it's on a strip sack, whether it's on an INT, maybe they get a scoop and score, pick 6, I don't care. Get 2 turnovers, and the Bears are going to win. Bear down. If it doesn't happen, gentlemen, I may have to drink an entire bottle of Malort.
The weekend cap here, as far as Monday Night Football goes, Brad, the Texans at the Steelers. Houston, I think the line has come down ever so slightly from 3.5 to 3 now on the road in Pittsburgh. They are the favorites here. Once again, another road favorite in the AFC playoff picture. Want to get your thoughts on this matchup. It feels like I've had different callers call in and ask me, oh, who do you think is going to go to the Super Bowl? The NFC, it feels a little bit easier to say, yeah, I feel pretty confident. The Seahawks, how they've been playing down the stretch. They've been a lot of really good teams down the stretch as well. The AFC, it feels like it's wide open. And the Texans defense, I don't know about you, Brad, but if there's any team that's contending in the AFC, I think that's maybe the one unit on either side of the ball that nobody wants to see in the AFC playoff picture.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have any weaknesses defensively. They just really collapse pockets. They bottle up the run, and they shut you down vertically, and you're going to be facing a 40-something quarterback. And I know Aaron Rodgers dialed back the hands of time on that, you know, second-to-last drive of the game last week against the Ravens. Magical fashion. That was the best, like, 5 minutes of football I've seen all season. It was downright redonkulous. Very compelling, very gripping, to say the least. But can that version of Aaron Rodgers play for four quarters? Snowball's chance in hell that's going to happen against this defense. I like the under on the 38.5. It's come down, open at 39.5. I think it's going to be a field goal kicking contest of sorts. But the biggest issue is the Steelers' defense. They have not been the steel curtain. They've been the soft curtain all year, whether defending the run, defending the pass. If we just get an average level of play from C.J. Stroud, I think Nico Collins is going to rip them a new one. I know Woody Marks isn't particularly efficient on the ground, but I like Houston, guys. I worry about the hook being in play, but right now that's out of the equation. It's down to 3, and I like juice at a minus 105 at BetMGM with the Texans. So, yeah, I'll lay the chalk, and I'll bet the under. Houston's going to march on, and I think they're a dark horse to represent the AFC in Santa Clara in this year's Super Bowl.
They got a shot. Hopefully their offensive line can stay together and at least do a decent job. One last one for you. L.A. Chargers, Patriots, and, man, what a ride Mike Vrabel has taken the Patriots on this year. Drake May has just been fabulous, and you got a star running back in Trevion Henderson. And I know they got beat up front along the offensive line, but that pieced together defense, so much of it in free agency, going up against the Chargers, whose offensive line, man, you got to get the resume on those guys. But your thoughts, Patriots, Chargers?
Yeah, guys, my body post-holiday season is ready to play on the offensive line for LAC right now. They need wide-bodied humans to defend against this New England defense and really get after the quarterback position. Drake Mays has been brilliant. He's a front-runner to win the MVP. It's a two-horse race right now with him and Matthew Stafford. New England ain't going to lose this game. Not at Foxborough. Not there in the chilly conditions. I'll gladly lay the 3.5. You know, the biggest area of weakness defensively for the Chargers has been defending the run. They're giving up, well, north of 4.5 yards per carry, the running back position. You've got that 1-2 punch of Trevion Henderson and Ramondre Stevenson, who was outstanding last week. So, and Drake May can make some plays with his legs as well. It'll be competitive for about three quarters, fourth quarter. I think New England opens up a can and coasts to a victory. I got the Patriots representing in the AFC in Santa Clara. I'm going to stick to my guns. I ain't budging. Go Pats. They're going to cover against the Chargers.
Brad, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Didn't get to tell you, but Happy New Year. Best of luck to you for 2026, buddy. Thank you.
Happy belated New Year to you, gentlemen. Until next time. Adios.
All righty.
Thanks, Brad.
That was the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Brad Evans. Listen and watch Brad on BetMGM Tonight from 6 to 11 Eastern on the Westwood One Sports in your Odyssey app. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number one of sports talk right after this break. Finishing up here, our number one of sports talk on the Big 870 WWL. I want to thank certainly Brad Evans from BetMGM and also Blake Ruffino from the RU Sirius Network, keeping us up to date on all the transfer portal players at LSU coming and going. And man, you, one thing I can say in the offseason, Charlie, magazines that they sell with the rosters, man, that's going to be a hot seller, because
right,
you're not going to know who's on whose team. Every single one of them, you talk about a massive kind of turnover, and that's going to be like that each and every year from now till quite a few years from now before they can put any sort of, I don't see.
Regulations, guidelines, anything, Mike, because it's the Wild West. I mean, it's.
Well, it is. I've said that before. Well, Wild West. At 5:10, we'll have on with us Jen Hale from NFL on Fox. Jen will talk to us. She did the Saints game in Atlanta, so we'll talk to her about the Saints coaching changes and also what she's maybe picked up from talking to other people in the NFL about some of the players on this Saints football team, and also Kellen Moore. Also, we'll talk to her about that. Charlie, I think just tonight, I kind of got a feeling that this will be a nail biter. between Miami of Florida and Ole Miss.
I did want to mention.
I think it comes down to the end.
I did want to mention, Mike, money's coming in on Ole Miss last second. Because now that line that was 3.5, and when we do pick six, we'll stick with the 3.5 line, has come down to 3. I think a lot of late money's coming in on the Rebels to potentially keep this thing close, like Brad Evans was saying. So, you know, I'm right there with you. I think it's going to be a fun matchup. It's not expected necessarily. I think a lot of folks are expecting Ohio State, Georgia, but I'm still looking forward to tonight's Fiesta Bowl.
Trinidad Chambliss, yep. Baby. That's what's getting your money. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.